as a game. They believed that if they waged it once and properly, they'd never have to face it again. Now, though, the idea that on Shadow World she could rule everything and be a living god was no longer the stimulus that drove her on. The Alexander the Great or Regis Trask syndrome of I win had now been replaced by we win, we survive. The appetite for power and the aptitude for beating animate and inanimate objects into submission was still alive and well, but it was now a cooperative venture. Kira's death had forced the sisters to examine their own mortality, something their heightened physical abilities had made seem remote at best. Her tragedy had shown them that in some circumstances, being stronger and faster wasn't enough to save their lives.
What we've lost today cannot be replaced. A piece has been ripped from our hearts. Kira was brave and strong. She loved us as we loved her. Her love and her bravery made us proud. Whatever we do after today, whatever we conquer, wherever we travel, she will always live in our memory.
With that, Greta bent and gently tipped the body bag over the edge. It made a slithering sound on the glass, growing fainter and fainter. The black bag slipped over the bulge 500 feet below and disappeared into the shadowy crease. The sisters held gauntlets in silence. Moments passed, stretching longer and longer. There was no sound of impact. As they turned from the chasm toward their waiting wags, Greta noticed something strange on the side of Miro's neck. It looked like an abrasion from the color of her battlesuit.
What's that there on your neck?
It just appeared overnight. It itches a little, but not too much. I think it might be from the battlesuit.
That's weird. I've got some minor irritation, too. But it's on my shoulder. Could be from friction.
They'd been living in the battlesuits for weeks now, and only getting out of them in order to sleep. Under the circumstances, abrasions weren't unexpected, even with the lubricant sprays they used to coat the inside of the armor. Greta knew that she and the others were spending way too much time in their suits, but to be outside the artificially intelligent armor was almost unbearable. Without her suit, without the deluge of information it provided, or the access to its nanosecond response lethality, she felt incomplete, crippled, and disconnected from her sisters. They all felt that way. Greta waved over to her medical officer.
Jan!
The blonde quickly stepped up.
Yes, Greta.
Miro and I have got skin rashes. Could be from our battle suits.
Jan looked at the side of Miro's neck, noting the small patch of redness near the collar.
When we get back to the base, I'll give you both a topical ointment, an anti-inflammatory and local anesthetic, and I'll take skin cell scrapings for analysis. I don't think it's anything important, but it never hurts to make sure.
Who?
When Colonel Gabhard spun at the sound of his name, he lost his balance. Ryan caught him as he fell, and since he seemed too wobbly to stand, helped him to a seat on the ground. He squinted up through eyelids so puffy they were nearly swollen shut.
Shadow Man? So, the murdering bastards got you too. What about the others?
Sit still, Colonel. Come here, people.
When the rest saw how ravaged the officer was, they couldn't hide their shock. They were speechless.
I guess I'm pretty messed up, huh?
Take it easy now.
Look at his badge. He's really giving off the rads. Try to touch him as little as possible, Ryan.
How long have you been here, Colonel?
I don't know. 12 days, maybe. The fuckers won't give out extra water. When you start to get the nuke sickness, you get so damn thirsty.
What about Captain Jurashic? Is she here too?
She died the day before yesterday, I think. It's so hard to keep track. But it was horrible. Truly fucking horrible.
Was it from the radiation?
No. It was from the stickies. The geniuses from my world who are running this operation captured a big group of them to help work the mines.
That's fucking crazy. You can't train stickies to do anything but fucking fight.
They didn't figure that out until it was too late. After they'd already let them loose in the mines, they actually thought they'd scare the sucker-fisted bastards into cooperating. Must be close to 100 roaming free down there. They can't get rid of them now. It's a maze of crevices, side tunnels, and air shafts.
Stickies can squeeze through some mighty small spaces. Got weird, muty cartilage. Lets them squash down their skeletons. Even their skulls compress a little.
But the laser cuffs?
They only activate after you run a certain distance from the center of the road. The Stickies aren't running away from anything. They like it in the mines.
The lasers can't be selectively activated?
There's no way to target individual slaves, if that's what you mean. The only way to get rid of the fuckers now is to trigger all the cuffs, which would make the entire workforce useless. But those Stickies jumped me and Jurassic deep down in those mines. There was nothing I could do to help the poor woman. Nara was weak from rad sickness. Much worse off than me. Most of her hair had fallen out, and she was coughing up blood. Stickies attacked, separated us, and then they dragged her off.
Killed her.
Fucking ate her, probably. There's nothing to eat around here, except maybe a few rats. That's why those mutants like it down there. The food comes to them. As you get weaker, you make easy meat. Easier than rats. We're a lot slower.
With great effort, the colonel forced himself to his feet.
I gotta get back down there. I gotta make my over quota or no more water today. I'm so goddamn thirsty.
We'll go with you. What do we have to do?
Pick an empty sledge from over by the entrance and push it down the hole.
The ore carts consisted of battered metal boxes, 5 feet by 3 feet, that sat on pairs of crude, ski-like metal runners. Each box had a number scribed into the side. The companions chose one of the sledges. Shoving it ahead, they followed the otherworlder down into the mine.
His clock is ticking and about to run out, Brian. He's in the terminal stages of radiation exposure. The linings of his intestines and lungs will start to slough off soon. The internal bleeding will be massive. Then he'll collapse and he'll never get up.
Damn.
Be sure and keep your bandanas on, everybody. You've got to try to keep from inhaling the radioactive dust.
The entrance angled down steeply between gray glass walls for about 25 feet, then the floor leveled out. The companions used a rope tied to the rear of the box to break the empty cart on the way down the slope. As they descended, another cart, this one fully loaded, was being hauled up by 4 slaves using a rope tied to its front end. There was just enough room for the 2 sledges to pass side by side. A short distance farther on, the main shaft branched in 2, and the fork was guarded by a pair of troopers. The area where they stood was brightly illuminated by Klieg lights on tripods. A trooper saw them as they pushed their cart toward him. He used the muzzle and butt of his pulse rifle to shove Doc, Mildred, and Jack to one side.
Too many bodies on that sledge. You 3, go back up top and get another one. The rest of you, go over there. Move it!
Damn it.
Do not fret. We shall be fine.
See you later.
A short way down the right-hand tunnel, which angled down slightly but steadily, Ryan and JB helped Gavhardt get into the sledge box. It was either that or abandon him. As they pushed on, Ryan stared into the eyes of the people coming the other direction, pushing or dragging heavily loaded carts. They were exhausted and terrified, their faces and hands bleeding, their radiation-sensitive badges glowing like spotlights on their chests. The greenish pall cast by the badges made them look like zombies. It wasn't long before they started seeing people dead and dying in the dark corners of the shaft. Some of the dying appeared to be delusional. Others were having out-and-out fits, foaming at the mouth, while they rhythmically bashed their heads against the wall. Nobody paid them any mind. There was nothing anybody could do for them. The side tunnel continued its gradual descent, 1 foot of vertical drop for every 100 feet of horizontal distance. The available natural light grew dimmer the farther they went, filtered as it was through a glowing thickness of glass overhead. Gavhardt raised his chin from his chest.
This tunnel dead ends around the bend ahead. We've got to leave the sledge there. Past that point, the turns are too tight for it to pass. Somebody will have to stay behind and guard the cart, or the others will steal our ore. As you've noticed, there's no honor among the damned.
At the end of the tunnel, a group of half-filled sledges sat parked. Each cart had at least one miner standing in it or in front of it, with a short-handled rock axe ready to defend the cargo. Ryan stopped their sledge against the tunnel's side wall and helped Gebhard out. The colonel pointed to the numerous man-sized tunnel openings in the walls.
We've got to go in one of those crevices. Follow it until we find the seam of the hot stuff.